one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. The pathway is narrow, but He leads me on. I walk in His shadow, my fears are all gone. My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day, for Jesus. I'm following Jesus, I'm never alone. I have here no city, for heaven's my home. Just a pilgrim, a stranger, I care not to stay. My pathway goes bright. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, it tells me of a Savior's love, who died and set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, a sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because
Hallelujah! Jesus is coming back soon. I got some interesting message today that will give a lot of people a lot to think about and maybe to study the Word. But before we get to that, I want to give you a few pointers. It says, the Word without the Spirit upon you, you dry up. The Word without the Spirit, you dry up. Many people use the Word, religious people. That's why they're dry, they don't have the Spirit. The Spirit without the Word, and people use that too, you blow up. They go in all directions. There's no guideline. So what happens? They blow up. But when you have both, you grow up. How do you like that? Now, I'll repeat that. The Word without the Spirit, you dry up. The Spirit without the Word, you blow up. If you have both, you grow up. So, you got a choice to make. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and He gave us an interesting book to keep us in line. I want to teach on an interesting subject again today that I've been teaching on for the last 2 weeks is the scripture, you are gods. And God has given me an interesting revelation to how this ends because many people don't realize their responsibility. God has made us. He has made us responsible and stewards of this earth. It's not the homosexual, it's not the drunkard, it's not the pornographer, it's not those who are living in sin on who's responsible. It's the believer, the church, the ecclesia. They're responsible of what's going on. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then and repent, and then I would forgive their sin and heal their land. You want our land healed? You have to seek God, turn from your wicked ways and repent. Otherwise, we're in for it. So God wants us to see and understand our responsibility. Should we go out and fight with weapons? Well, in the past, that has been done. When Hitler tried to take over the world, God raised up the Allies to thwart his ambitions of creating a 1,000-year reign. But in this day and age, God wants us on our knees, seek Him and decree His will and to set the captives free, and things will change when His Spirit moves. And we need to understand these things. A lot of Christians figure, oh, whatever happens, it's the will of God. Then everything will turn out. God has chosen to use us to change things. If we do not change things, things will go on. They need to be under our domain. Whether it's the weather, people coming to know the Lord, anything here on this earth, God has commissioned us to do what He would have done in His stead. We know that Jesus tried to train the disciples. And when the Holy Spirit came down upon them at the day of Pentecost, things changed drastically after that. But today, we are getting back into that same thing because we've lost a lot of the power of God throughout the years. That's because of erroneous teaching by many in the churches. So, God has given us something. We better make sure we don't lose it. So, before we get into this message today, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open people's hearts today. You will anoint this message. You will give me the ability to communicate it so that people will understand. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God has given us something. The unbeliever better make sure he doesn't lose it. God created us like he created the angels. He created every human being. He created the angels. He created Lucifer. But with humans, he added something to us. He brought his spirit within us. He breathed his spirit into us. We have a part from God. And God says, there is a second death. The Bible teaches us, what shall it gain a person if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? If you lose what God has given you, you will spend your eternity in the eternal lake of fire, because God takes what he had, what he had given you, he takes it back. It's called the second death. This is why God says he gives them over to a reprobate mind. They have crossed over a line where he takes back what he gave them. He takes it back, and he says this, that they all might be damned because they have no love for the truth. That's a harsh sentence on a person. So don't lose what God has given you. Every unbeliever needs to listen here. If God withdraws his spirit from you, if God withdraws what he has given to you, the chains of retrieving it is finished. He gives you over that you may be damned because you have no love for the truth. In reality, some people already, while they're alive, lose their souls. That's why they become so evil. They have absolutely no regard of God. God gives them over to a reprobate mind, a godless mind. The check of God is not there anymore. So don't lose what God gives you. Come to Jesus today. Become saved. When the word is used, saved, it means what you have will be kept for the rest of eternity. If it's not kept, then you're not saved. It's as simple as that. The word saved doesn't need any help. It means you have been saved from the wrath that is to come. So today I'll get into an interesting message on who the church is, what her destination is, and it's quite a surprise on what God has in mind for his bride, what Jesus has in mind for his bride. We need to understand that we're not just here on this earth to pass through or to live. We're here to become something. It's called the bride of Christ, by choosing the precious blood for our salvation. And that brings us into that place where we become the bride, the wife of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 8, it tells us, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So God makes a statement here. He will not share his glory with another. So what does this mean? Is there a chance that we, the church, will ever share his glory? Well, if we become like he is, if we are in him, then yes, he will share his glory with us. And that needs to be understood, because the Bible calls us, ye are gods. It doesn't make a mistake when it says that. There is something to that, and we need to understand it. Now listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are under his feet, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So Jesus is accepted in to do that. He has been qualified to do that. And then it says this, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, why would Jesus put himself into subjection to God when everything is over, when everything is done? There is a reason for that. And it's very interesting and very intriguing why God, why Jesus will place himself under the authority. He's got a commission, and that'll last for eternity. And the commission is very simple and very, very interesting and intriguing. God will give him the instructions for the rest of eternity on how to do that. When he was here on earth, he said, I don't do nothing except the Father tells me. Now listen to this in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 7. We need to understand this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Interesting here. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The bride has made herself ready. How did she make herself ready? She has received that fine linen, which is the blood of Jesus. Some translations put it like this. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. No, no. You do not become righteous through your acts, through the good things that you do. You are granted. It was given to you. You didn't work for it. You were granted that you should be arrayed in this fine linen. And that can only mean one thing. You were granted the blood of Jesus, and its righteousness makes you ready and righteous to be the bride of Jesus. We need to clear that up. Many people don't understand that. We have been made pure and holy through the precious blood of Jesus without blemish. We have been saved by grace through faith in what the blood did at the cross for us. So let me take it now a step further. God wants us to understand this. He wants us to be clear in our minds so that we can take responsibility here on this earth. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm building you up to something so that you'll be able to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We don't see it very clearly. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does it say here? We are changed into the image of Jesus. We go from glory to glory to glory. We see Jesus, and we are heading in that direction. Jesus is taking us into that direction, bringing us from glory to glory. And we are the bride of Christ. We are his wife. We have been made part of him, and he is changing us already here on this earth. But throughout eternity, that process will happen. Listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 14 tells us. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. So why? What did Adam do? He wasn't deceived in the Garden of Eden. He made a choice. He was going to follow his bride. He was going to be with his wife. He was going to go where she went. And guess what? They were removed from the Garden of Eden. I do not know what would have happened if Adam would have said, go, be by yourself. But he didn't. He chose to be with his wife. He was so in love. He was so intrigued with Eve that he chose to follow her, even into sin. But now the second Adam comes along. This is where it gets good. He put himself under the authority of God to do what? To be with his wife. Why does he want to be with his wife? So that he can lead her from glory to glory into the eternal destiny that belongs to his wife. Hallelujah. Remember when Satan said, I will be like the Most High. I will put my throne up to his throne. I will be above the stars of the north. Listen to what Satan said. I will be like the Most High God. He wanted the place. He wanted the office that was designed and preserved for somebody called the Bride of Christ. Is that hard to accept? Well, whether you accept it or not, it's in the Word of God. We are the Bride of Christ, and we will be with Christ, and we will go from glory to glory to glory until we are where we are, we're supposed to be. This is why Jesus, I want to repeat that again, he put himself under the authority. He put himself under the authority of God. Like Adam, he chooses to be with his wife. He chooses to be with his bride. I'm going to bring them up to our level. I'm going to do this. If it takes me for eternity. Interesting scriptures there when you study Ephesians chapter 2. How long will it take for Jesus to bring us into the fullness of God? I'll explain to you. It explains itself in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5. If you're shocked by this, don't be. Just study the Bible and you'll find out who you are in Christ. God has determined right from the beginning, we will create men in our own image. In the image of God created them. Male and female he created them and he called them Adam. That was his determination right from the beginning. And then Satan came along and kind of destroyed the whole plan for a while. And then Jesus comes along and brings us back to our status where we were before. We come out from God and we're going to go back into God. This is what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and that's how it is. By grace are you saved. And then he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He put us up there. He made us sit. We didn't do it ourselves. He made us. Jesus chose his bride. Jesus chose his wife. He chose to be under subjection, to be with his wife until we are with where God is, where Jesus was before the foundation of the earth. And then it says that in the ages to come, he might show us, that is, he will teach us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. How long will it take us to get into the status where God is? Jesus put himself at our level. He placed himself under the authority to lead us into that office. How long will it take us? It says, in the ages to come, he will teach us. How long are ages? I have no idea. My brain cannot comprehend it. But it seems like it'll take forever. It'll take forever for us to get into the same office as God. Will we ever achieve it in the ages to come? It seems like that'll be an eternal endeavor. I cannot understand who God is. I cannot understand where he came from. I can almost see where he's going because God has given me the ability to see a little bit in that direction. But one thing I know for sure, that in the ages to come, our understanding will be opened clearer and more to where God is, to the point where we are in Christ Jesus at the same level. That's what the Bible teaches. It'll take forever, but we're going there. And here is another script. Here is another thing. How will all this end up? The Bible teaches us this. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And who else? The church. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And like Scripture says, you are God's, the church. Can you grasp that? Can you accept that? I already have, because I can see what God has in mind for me. It may take an eternity to get there, but I want to be on that journey, hallelujah, because I know my Jesus is going to be there lifting me, teaching me into that place where God is. Even though it takes an eternity, it's going to be an awesome trip. This is waiting for the bride of Christ. For those of you who don't believe, for those of you who are not saved, isn't that better than the other part that is waiting for the unbeliever, where you will lose what God has given you? The Bible teaches, what does it help a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You will then become sin yourself. You will become what Satan is. You will be cast into the eternal lake of fire where the smoke of your torment will arise forever and ever. God has given you a free will to choose to become the bride of Christ. Why would anybody in his right mind forfeit that or throw that away? You need to come to Jesus today by accepting the simple fact that he paid for your sin. He is willing that none perish. He wants us all to be included in this bride. It's his pleasure that he created us for. So I'm asking today, our journey for the rest of eternity is going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be from glory to glory, from ages to ages. How long will it take us to get there? To me, it doesn't matter. But I'm on my way, hallelujah. One of these days, one of these eons of eternity, my understanding will be open enough to understand what this is talking about. And I'm looking forward to this. So open your heart to this interesting message. You are more than just somebody here on earth struggling to get through. You're the bride of Christ. You have the authority to change things. You have the authority to become a master here on this earth. God has given it to you. So take advantage of it and become a part of that kingdom so that you will be able to rejoice for the rest of eternity. Let the Lord open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.